No, I know all quality. Okay. We are going to start out with user input. So click on user input and open that if you would. And this is just a very simple program. First of all, it only has one procedure in it, so I don't have to make anything global because I've only got one procedure. So all of my work areas are defined locally. So I have a DIM and I'm defining those locally inside my subroutine because I don't have any other place that I want to use them. If you look at the form, okay, not what I wanted. Then I have two things that are calling for input boxes. So if I go back and look at my form, there's my form. And it only has two things in it. It has the user's name and the gross pay, and then it has a button. So it has three things, but I was thinking of text boxes. There's only two text boxes. So if I click here, I'm back to looking at the code. And if I say start, it will start up. So I put in my name, and then I say click here. And it brings up a pop-up window that allows me to enter data. And notice that it just sits there and waits. Okay? So I can put in the hours worked, 40 hours we'll say, and then I click OK. And it says give me the pay per hour, 50. And I say OK, and it comes back and gives me the pay per hour. Okay? So 40 times 50 is 2,000. Come back and give me the gross pay. So input box, halt processing. Message boxes, halt processing. Okay? They're the same as the prompt in JavaScript and the alert in JavaScript. They stop processing because you're asking for user input, and at that point, things just come to a grinding halt. I inputted them into work areas, so this is an area where I definitely need to set up work areas because I'm going to input them into work areas. Then I did my calculation and stored that in a work area as well. Okay? And then I said, okay, now the box is going to have that workforce pay that I calculated, but I want to format it as currency. And so it formats it as currency and puts it into the box. And then I said, okay, now put up a message box that also shows the gross pay. And so it puts up the message box that shows it as well. So I'm seeing it two times. Okay, so the message box again is like the alert that you have in JavaScript, and the input box is like the prompt that you have in JavaScript. Both stop processing for a few minutes. Okay. So when I hit OK, it's done. Any questions? Okay, the next one is going to be a raise. So I'm going to open the one called Department Array. So on my form, I have a place for a department number. I have a place that says get the department name, and I have a place to put the department name after I get it. I also have a clear that empties out my text boxes and an exit that gets me out. Okay. So if I go in here and look at the code, I have set up an array. And an array is kind of a table of information that I can pull things out of. I define it up here as global because I'm going to use it in multiple procedures. So I define it as global. And department name 5 means that I am going to actually have, even though I say 5, I'm going to actually have 6 slots for department names. And I'm having 6 slots because there's a 0 slot. So 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, in this program, I didn't use the 0 slot. We can go back and use it if we want to, but I didn't use the 0 slot because most companies don't have departments 0, okay? If you work in department 0, you feel kind of useless. So we mostly have departments that have a number. So what I've done there is I've said I want to be able to take in from the user a number and then give them the right department name. Okay. Now I could do that with if statements. I could say if you enter a 1, show girls. If you enter a 2, show boys. If you enter a 3, show infants. But if I have 20 or 30 of these, that if statement becomes kind of cumbersome. So what I do is I set up an array. And the array has the same name for everything. So here's the array for department name. And it's got 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, yes. So 0 doesn't have anything in it. 1 has girls. 2 has boys. 3 has infants. 4 has toys. And 5 has books. So I set up this kind of table. And each element in the table has the same name, department name. Now you know enough about programming now to know that you can't say 2 fields, you can't give 2 fields the name department name. Because if you then say if department name, it's going to say which one are you talking about. So we get around that by having that number in parentheses, which is an index. It can also be called a subscript. It can also be called a pointer. Okay. So that number differentiates one department name for another. Department name with an index of 1 is girls. Department name with an index of 2 is boys. So as long as I use the number at the department name, it's fine with the fact that I have everything called department name because I have made it unique. I've clarified it and made it unique. Okay. The first job I ever had, they asked me to do something where I had to take in the month. and put out the word for the month. Okay? And I did it with if statements. If the code is 1, put out January. If the code is 2, put out February. And the guy I was working for said, why didn't you use an array for that? It would have been a lot easier. And then you could have set up month with a 1 after it is January, month with a 2 after it is February, and so forth. So that's when I learned arrays. And he was right. It would have been easier to have set all of that up. And the reason is that now I can use, that I've got it set up, I can use it differently than I could in the if statements. So, now I come in and I've got this set up. Now notice I do this in the form department array load. That's the load event. Okay, it's not the click event, which is the one I keep using. It's the load event. Okay, so if I click up here, it now changes that to load. It's the load event. Now, how I make a load event is any blank area on the screen. Okay, when my screen, when I'm setting it up, if I click on any blank area, it will make the load event for that form. Okay, so form1_load will appear if I have called it form1. So clicking on a blank space makes on the form. Okay, so you click on a blank space on the form. Or empty space. So if you click on a button, or actually I think it's double click. If you double click on a button, it makes a code for that. If you double click on a blank area, it makes room for the load event. Okay, so now I want to get the name because I want to put it on the form. So I know that the valid numbers are 1 to 5. 0 is actually a valid number too, but I didn't use it. So what I'm going to do is say, if the text department number dot text, and I want it to be a number, so I put val in front of it. I could have put CW, CDBL, I could have put CINT, and anyway, but I use val on this one. So if the value of the text department dot text is greater than 0, and the value is less than 6, then that means it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a valid range. So I can then say, go get the department name that that number is pointing to and put it onto the form. So go get the department name that that number is pointing to and put it on the form. If it is not greater than 0 and less than 6, then I am saying invalid department number. Okay. So I'm just telling it that it's an invalid department number. Because if I try to use a number like 9, there isn't a 9 there. Department name 9 doesn't exist. The program will crash. So if I try to use an invalid index or pointer, it's going to crash. So that's why I check it. As long as it's greater than 0 and less than 6, it's fine and I can use it. So if I run this, and I say, okay, I'm going to put in a 3 and say get department name, and it comes back with inputs. So I put in a 3, I click the button that said button get name, the click event, it checked. Is the number greater than zero? Yes. Less than six? Yes. So it then said, okay, department name modified by three. Because three is what I put in there. So it says, go get department name modified by three, which means it gets inputs. And put that into the text box. So that ends up in the text box. Okay? So if I put a 7 in there, and say get department name, it comes back and says invalid department number. Okay, because that one just doesn't work. So it comes back and says invalid department number. Then when I'm done, I can clear, and notice the clear just has the names of the text boxes dot clear. And that clears out the boxes. And then if I hit exit, it can just end. The other thing that you can put in there is me.close with two parentheses after the close. So you can say me.close. And that's the other way that you can end something. Okay. So that's how an array works. Okay? So I would like you now to take a few minutes and modify this program. And I want it to include the 6 New England states. Okay, so I want you to go in and set up an array to handle the 6 New England states. Designate a number for each one of them so that if I put in a 1, I get, for example, Maine. 2 gets me Vermont. 3 gets me New Hampshire, whatever. So just take a copy of this, or just take this. You can always get a copy of the original. Just take this and modify it so that you are dealing with the New England states. And if you have questions, that's what Lindsay and I are here for. Make us an appe. Okay, we have an array here of 5 departments, and I just asked them to modify this and have 6 states of New England, and 1 be Maine, 2 be whatever. And just the 6 states in Rhode Island, and that's it.
one at the bottom. Gabriel is right there.
If you have questions, please ask. That's why you're doing it in class, so you can ask questions. It's under my programs. If you go to my webpage and pick programs and Department Array is the one you're looking for. Okay? Okay, what did you have to change in order to do this? Okay, so change which line?
The department name.
Right. And so we're going to make that 6, right? We could actually keep it 5 if we wanted to make Main Street 0, but they might find that offensive, so. We change that to 6. Then what else do we need to change?
The department names.
Right. So I'm going to put up here, Main, etc. And what do I have to, what else do I have to change up there?
You have to add a department.
I have to add a department. So I need to have department name 6. And while we're at it, we really, if we were doing this for real, should change department name to say state name. Okay? But that's a lot of typing for very little reward at this point. So it would be better to change all of these to say state name, state name, state name. What else do we have to change?
Line 12.
Okay.
6 to 7.
Okay. Is that a question or you have the answer? Okay, same as him, okay. So I have to change that from 6 to 7. And that's all I have to do. Okay? Because now I can go in and move the state over. Okay? And again, it would be nice to change it to state name, but that's a lot of typing because it's showing up in a lot of places. Okay. The next one I want to look at is the right. So this one is called Project Write Text. So on this one, I've got 3 fields, an ID, a name, and a major. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take in information from the user and use it to create a file that would contain all of the information from the records that I type in. Okay? Data is what it's really all about in IT. You need to have data. So writing programs that don't save data and allow you to then access the data at a later date are reasonably useless in a business environment. You are dealing with bit data all of the time. So we're going to not deal with the database because that's far more difficult. We are dealing with files, but in a dated way. There are better ways of doing it today, or at least more sophisticated ways. I'm not real sure they're better, but they're more sophisticated. But this is the keep it simple approach, and it works just fine. So this is my code. So I start out and I say, dim data write. So I'm dimming the line that I want to write on the file. I'm setting up a line that I want to write on the file. So I said, dim data write as a string. And on that line, I want to have the information that was in text ID number dot text. So the information that I entered in there. Concatenated with a comma, because I want something to separate my fields. When I'm putting the fields out there, I need a separator. And so I concatenate that with a comma. Concatenate that with what's in the text name dot text box. Concatenate that with a comma. Concatenate that with what is in the text major.text box. And then concatenate that with a BBCRLF, which is a line feed. It's a carriage control line feed, which means that it will move down to the next line. So I will write on one line the name, I mean the ID, the name, and the major. And then I will move down to the next line. And I will, when I hit the button again, I'll write the ID, name, and major on the next one. Okay. So then I say this line right here, which is a copy and paste. Okay? My computer file system write all text. Okay, so that's the way Visual Basic wants to tell me that I should write this line. And now I have to put the address in there. Okay? Right now I've got an address that says go to the G drive, find this, and I actually hit it twice, find two folders with those names, and then put in the name of the file. Okay, I'm going to change that. I think I still have a G drive going on, but I'm going to take out the folders, and I'm going to say F or S 19. So I'm saying I want to do a data write onto my G drive, and I want to write student S19.txt. So if you have a flash drive, you can put it in and write it on the flash drive. If not, you can just write it on the C drive and it will vanish and go away, which isn't a big problem. Okay, so you can put it any way you want to put it. And then after I've written it, I clear out the boxes, and then I set the focus, which means the cursor. I put the cursor in text ID number, ready for somebody to enter more information. Okay? So, if I now start this, okay. So I'm going to put in an ID of 111, a name of John Doe, a major of CI, and I'm going to write it. And notice it then cleared everything out and put the focus on the ID number. So I'm going to put in 222, Susan Ash, CI, and then write it. And I'm not sure I wrote it before there. And then 333, Linda French, CI, or make this one BU. And write it. And now I'm done, so I'm going to end it. Okay? So if I now go to my G drive, what did I call this? I called it Students S19. So if I go to my G drive, Student S19. And there it is. So it's on my G drive. Let me pull that over so it's visible. So I've now written it on my G drive. And you can see the three records. 111, comma, the name, comma, CI. 222, comma, the name, comma, CI. 333, comma, Linda French, BU. So I wrote the three records there. And when I stopped, an end of file marker was put on to indicate that I was out of records, that I had all of my records. Okay? So that's how I can create a file. Now, I call this student S19, and I put it on the G drive. Okay? So that means that when I want to read this, I need to do the same thing. I need to read it off the G drive, and I need to remember its name is studentS19.txt. So now I'm going to close this solution, and I'm going to open the one that basically says to read. So I'm going to go find the one that says read project. Now, if I want this to work, the first thing I have to do is change the address so that I can tell it where it will find the file and what the file's name is. So I have to go in here and change the address so that it can find my file and read it. So now if I run it and say read, it reads the first record. So if I click on it, it reads the first record. And then if I click again, it reads the next record. And then if I click again, it reads the third record. And if I read again, it comes back and tells me that end of file has been reached. Okay? So I know that I'm done. So, how this works is I come in and I again have a copy and paste. I just copy and paste that line. I don't even try to remember it. I just copy and paste it. And then I put my address in there that is the same address as the file that I read. I mean that I wrote. Because obviously if I don't give it the address, it's not going to find the file and it's not going to be able to read it. So I've got to tell it the address where the file is located so that it can go to my G drive and pull out the file called studentS19.txt. Okay. So now I am going to read it. And before we read it, down here at the bottom, and again, these are copy and paste, that tells me that the delimiter is going to be a comma. If I had wanted the delimiter to be a slash, I could have made the delimiter a slash when I wrote the file, and now I would be telling it that the delimiter is a slash. But I made it a comma, and so now I am telling it that the comma is going to separate the fields, and so it is going to be able to read the data by taking everything up to the first comma, and then taking everything after the first comma up to the second comma and read like that. Then I said, all right, dim the current row as a string, because I'm going to use that in a minute. And then I said, if not my reader end of data, then do this. If my reader end of data is there, then I've got a text field on my form called label 1 that I'm going to put the words end of file reached in. Okay? So you can see where end of file reached is, there's a text field there that has been filled with that message. Okay. If it is not end of file, then I say the current row that I gave a name to up here is my reader read files. And I have no flexibility there. I have to say, because that's what Microsoft wants me to say, I have to say, my reader read files. And then I say, all right, the current row is the name of the row that I'm reading. I define current row as a string up here. I now said the current reader is this, which means it's the current row that I'm reading. So I said, take the current row modified by zero. Because what it does is it sets up an array, like the arrays we've been looking at. It sets up an array that contains, behind the scenes, I don't know about this, it sets up an array that contains the first field as the zero field. The next field is the one field. The next field is the two field. So I'm saying, go to that array that you set up, Tommy, and say, take the first field, which is the zero field, and put it in the ID number. Take the next field, which is the one field, and put it in the name. Take the next field, which is the two field, and put it in the major. Okay? And so it does that and puts the data in here. And there it sits until I hit the button again, and then it will move on to the next record. Okay. The read fields will bring up the next record as the current row, and then it will take the information from the next record and bring it up. Okay. So it will step through the data one at a time. When it finally hits end of file, it will give me the message end of file reached. Questions. So if I go out of here and I come back and I look at my form, I can't see anything about end of file reached here. Okay, I know it's in there someplace, but it's not coming up. But if I go and look at the names of the fields, label one, because I didn't change it, label 1 is the name of the field. And if I click on label 1, it now shows me the little mark over there. And that's where label 1 is. And so I can move something to label 1, which is what I did, and it will work just fine. Okay? So when I look at my code, I said label 1 dot text, I want to move something to it, and that's where I moved it to. So to create that field, I just grabbed from the toolbar label, took it over there. I didn't even bother to rename it, which you should do. And then it was available to me, and I could just say, make that little label equal to end of file reached, and the label became equal to that. Okay. So now I would like you to take and write, and you can modify mine, but I would like you to create a file and then read it. Okay, so go in and try that. Try creating a file and reading it using my two examples. And that wraps up what I want to do with Visual Basic. That's all we're doing for Visual Basic in this course. There's a whole semester's course on it. But in this course, we spent, you know, about 2 weeks and get the basics. Okay? Actually, there's 2 semesters of Visual Basic, you know, if somebody wants to get into it. But here, there's 2 weeks. So write the write file, and then write the read file, and as I said, you're more than welcome to copy and paste mine, but do something different. Don't do ID, name, and major. Do something different. Do employee pay per hour, hours worked. Do something like that. Okay, do something different. you have any questions, make us an up, hey. So write one program that writes the file and another one that reads it. And please remember, there's only a month more of school, so that means you need to get me the stuff that's sitting on your desk or that you promised yourself you're going to do tomorrow and haven't done tomorrow because tomorrow never comes. So,
it goes by so fast.
It goes by very fast. You've got a month left to go. Now, the last week will be open labs all week. I don't hold classes at all the last week. But you can't do a semester's worth of work in 1 week. So get going. I'm behind in correcting. I'm hoping this weekend I will start to get caught up. Make my weekend even worse and get me lots of work. The reason I let you be behind is because I have been behind. If I was on time, then I wouldn't let you be any late. That's not true, but that's all right. Does that mean it's working?
What?
Does that mean it's working?
No, I didn't. Were you crashing?
Yeah, it's easy. No one's crashing right now. I don't know what's wrong with it.